Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Cheyenne Mission Baptist Temple. Brother Potts, would you open us for prayer, please? Amen. Let's all stand and we'll take our hymnals and turn to hymn number 429. 429, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Hymn number 431, Silent Night, Holy Night. Shabbat this last one, a cappella.
Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend thy light with the angel, let us sing.
Amen. Thank you. Maybe seated.
For you are holy. breath of heaven, breath of heaven, breath of heaven.
John chapter number 15, if you would, John chapter number 15. Be in prayer for Pastor. I know that he's having a good time, refreshing time at the retreat down in Branson. And so just be in prayer for them as they finish that up this in the next couple of days and heads back. I'm thankful that he's able to get away, spend some time and refresh, and certainly grateful that. Grateful to have the opportunity to preach tonight, John chapter number 15, if you would. And we all stand together, if you would, please. Verse number 1 will begin. John chapter 15. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be here together this evening in your house. And Lord, I ask you to help us as we look into John 15, the beginning part of it, that you might help us to be willing to change where we're at, to become more like you. And I ask that as we're confronted with what it means to be a disciple, that you would help us to know where we're at, that we might become more like you. And Lord, I ask you to help me. I ask you to help all these that are listening. And we love you and ask that you would bless us and be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I've been preaching through the book of John since about last, maybe last August, probably, in the youth group. And so some of you have, I've preached it here before, but just to catch us up from, I think maybe last time I was here that I preached on Wednesday night, maybe I was in John 8, and that was probably earlier this year. So there's been quite a lot that has happened since then. And so John chapter 13, I won't go into everything that's happened since John 8, but John chapter 13 kind of starts a 5-chapter message from Jesus to his disciples, where he, as he is trying to depart, or as he's about to depart from this world, as he's about to be led to Calvary, as he's about to be crucified for the sins of the world, he comes to his disciples and he teaches them many things. He talks about a lot of things. He talks about sending the Holy Spirit after him, that there might be peace there. He talks about having a living in the in a troubled world. And of course, John 14, very familiar verses, let not your heart be troubled. And he talks about that. And he talks about loving one another. And And so we get to, very briefly, that's where we're at now in chapter number 15. We're kind of in the middle of that long discourse that Jesus is giving to his disciples in what is about probably the fourth day before he's crucified. So we're right here, right at the very end of his earthly life. And so we come to chapter 15, and he gives a metaphor to us. In the beginning verses here, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And then he goes, and every branch in me that beareth not fruit taketh away. And so what he's trying to get his disciples to understand here is that their job as disciples, as followers of him, is that they might bear fruit. That's their goal in life, or it should be. Is to bear fruit. And so this will be somewhat of a review for our youth. We preached the first eight verses last week, but we need to add them to our verses tonight of verses 9 through 17. So the first eight verses, we find that the disciples are supposed to bear fruit. How are they supposed to do that? How is that accomplished? How do we bear fruit, right? That's kind of a vague term, maybe. So how do we do that? We do it by abiding in Jesus, abiding in Jesus. And so we see there the number of times that he says there in verse number 4, abide in me. Verse number 5, he talks about abiding in me. And verse number 7, if ye abide in me. And so it's a theme through these first eight verses that we would abide in him. The word abide means to continue in, right? We talked about last week that there's something of every house that you've ever lived in. All of them have something in common. You've lived in them, right? Every one, you've lived in them. That was your abode. That's where you lived. That's where you continued. That's where your home was. That's where you felt comfortable, right? That's where you can raid the fridge. That's where you can hang out. That's where there's not a lot of worries or pressures from the outside world. That's your home. That's where you find comfort and solace. And so we find that that this idea is to continue in Jesus. But how do we do that? And so we talked about a number of things. First of all, we abide in Jesus by living in dependence on him, understanding that he's the only one that can provide for everything that we need. Everything, whether it be physical or whether it be spiritual, we can depend on him for every single thing. And so that's number one, living in dependence. Number two, by exercising faith. Right? Exercising faith as things come our way that maybe we don't understand how we're going to get through them, as we maybe face things that we don't understand how Jesus is going to work it out. But we have faith that, hey, Lord, this is in your hands. I'm not going to be able to handle it, but I know that you have it under control. And so we exercise faith. And then we're number three, also living, abiding in him means to be obedient and doctrinally. Right. The things that Jesus says to do, that's what we do in our life. The things that he tells us that we're supposed to do, that's what we do. Why? Because we're abiding in him. And so when we then abide in him, verse number 8 there, it says two things happen. That herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So when we bear fruit, the Father is glorified. The Father is glorified. That's our main goal in life. As a believer, it should be our main priority that God is glorified. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 31. And so that should be our main goal in life, that God receives the honor and glory, that he is magnified in our lives. And that is accomplished as we bear fruit. As we abide in him, then he is glorified. But also it says that when we bear fruit, then we are his disciples. We're his disciples. Now, are we to be a disciple? Is being a disciple necessary in the life of the believer? Okay, two of you said yes. The correct answer is yes. So good job, the two of you. It is necessary for us to be a disciple. That's what Jesus desires for us. We see this in verse number 16 and 17. It says there, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you ask the Father, in my name, it shall be done to you. And so this is what God desires for us. As followers of him, it's also it should be our desire that we would be a disciple of him. What does it mean to be a disciple? It means to be a learner or a pupil or a follower, one who would sit at the feet of, right? We find that Paul was in his career as a Pharisee. He was a disciple of Gamaliel, right? And the Bible says, describes it this way, that he sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He would sit and he would be taught by Gamaliel the ways of the Pharisees. And we understand that he became a disciple of Jesus Christ. And that same idea would carry over, that he sat at the feet of Jesus. Now, not physically like our disciples in John were able to, but he sat at the feet of him. He learned from him. He learns not only his words, but he learned his ways, right? not just his doctrines, not just his teachings, but they learned his actions, and they learned his motives. They learned his heart for people. That's what being a disciple means. And so I want to encourage us this evening that we would desire to be not just a believer, but a disciple also. That we would not only just desire to come into church and believe that there is a God, though it's good to come to church and it's good to believe in God, obviously, but it ought to go a step further than that. It ought to. We can be, because the fact is that we can be a believer without being a disciple, but that's not when we bear fruit. And that's what God desires for us. And so we ought to try to be not only a believer, but we ought to be a disciple of Him. And being a disciple means being productive. Being productive. And so I want to ask you this evening, are you being productive in your life? I don't mean are you getting a lot of stuff done, right? I don't mean are you checking a lot of stuff off your daily task list. That's not what I'm talking about. Are you being productive the way that Jesus desires for us to be productive? Are you bearing fruit the way that He desires for us to bear fruit? That's what it means to be a disciple. And so then Jesus moves on here in verse number 9, as we have it here. And He talks about being a disciple. And then verse number 9 and 10 and 11, He talks about that love brings joy to our lives. Love brings joy. Verse number 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. Excuse me. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Jesus tells us not only to abide in Him, but to abide in His love. Abide in His love. What love is that? What love is that? It's not just a simple love, really. He says there, verse number 9, as the Father hath loved me. The Father loves Jesus. Think about the Father's love for His Son. And not a physical Father, not an earthly Father for an earthly Son, but the eternal Father. For the eternal Son. Think about that love. It's an eternal love, right? It's not as though God the Father at some point in eternity thought to himself, well, I guess I better start loving God the Son, right? That's not how it worked. He had an eternal love for him. As long as God has existed, which has been forever, and as long as Jesus has existed, which is also forever, that love has existed. So the love is eternal. That's the love that we're talking about, an eternal love. But it's also a very close and personal love, right? It's not some distant love, a distant relationship that maybe we would claim to be love. It's very close and personal. It's an intimate love that the Father has for the Son. And not only that, but it's also an immeasurable love, right? It's immeasurable. The amount of love that the eternal Father has for the eternal Son is incalculable, right? It's impossible to know the amount of love that the Father has for the Son. It's immeasurable, it's intimate, it's eternal, it's unchanging. There's nothing that the Son will do that will change the amount of love that the Father has for Him. It's unchanging. There's a 50 cent word, it's immutable, right? It's an immutable love. It's never going to change. And so we must understand before we go on in verse number 9 of the second phrase, we have to understand that the Father loved Jesus eternally and immeasurably and intimately and unchangingly. That's the love that the Father had for the Son. But notice that what it says right after that. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. The same exact love that the Father has for the Son is the love that Jesus has for you. The same exact. The eternal love that the Father has for Jesus, Jesus has for you. There was never a point in eternity that Jesus did not love you. Not a single time. For eternity past or for eternity future also. Right? There's never going to be in the future a time when Jesus will not love you the way that the Father loved you. It's eternal. It's an intimate love. It's a close and personal love that Jesus has for you. It's not just some random guy that sends you one letter, right? It's not as though he's some distant person that claims to love you. It's a close and personal love that he has for you. It's an immeasurable love. It's an immeasurable love. We can't understand the amount of love that Jesus has for us. We can't. It's eternal, it's intimate, it's immeasurable, and it's unchanging. The same amount that Jesus loved you before, He's still going to love you. But you say, but okay, hold on, Brother Chuck. But you don't know what I've done. I don't have to know. As the Father loves Jesus, Jesus loves you. As He loved, so He loves. As He was loved, so He loves. And so Jesus says there, now we can go on. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. But then look at the last part. Continue ye in my love. So the Father loves Jesus, and Jesus loves us, and we ought to love other people. Now it's not going to be exactly the same because we can't love eternally, because we're not eternal. Now Jesus knew who we were eternally, and so that's how He can love us eternally. But we can't love eternally. But we can love from here on out, right? From starting now, we can love for the rest of eternity. It ought to be a close and personal love that we have for one another. A close and personal love. How close are you to the members of Shawnee Mission Baptist Temple? How close are you? Because as the Father loved Jesus, as Jesus loved you, we ought to love one another. A close and personal love. A love that doesn't just come in at the last second and leave as soon as service is over. Right? A love that stays around and talks and tries to connect one with another. Why? Because it's close and impersonal. Right? It's close and personal. It's an immeasurable love. It's an unchanging love that we have for one another. One that does not end just because of a simple offense. Right? It's a love that is unchanging. And so this is the love that Jesus says here to His disciples, to those who would follow Him, to those who would claim to be His students, His followers, His learners. He says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Continue. Abide. Abide in Jesus' love for one another the way that Jesus loves us. Jesus obeys the Father. Look at verse number 10. As Jesus obeys the Father, so we ought to obey Jesus. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. And then in verse number 11, loving others produces joy. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. The word full means full to the brim, right? The joy that we can have can be overflowing. It can be up to the brim. It's not like we just have a couple of drops of joy inside of us, right? If we're bearing fruit, if we're Jesus' disciples, we have a joy that's all the way to the top. We can have it. Some of you maybe have it. I don't know. But just based on your faces, all right? That's going over pretty well. Verse number 12, I guess. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you, love one another. And then He gives us the picture of what that means. What does it mean that Jesus would love us? Greater love hath no man than this. The height of all love, the most love that you could imagine in your mind is this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus showed us the greatest love, and he's preparing his disciples for his departure. He's not going to be there for very much longer. And so he says, listen, I'm going to give you an example that you would follow after. I'm going to show you a picture of what it means, what I'm talking about, because I'm not going to be here forever to show you. So I'm going to show you one act. I'm going to show you the greatest love that you can ever show anybody. And that's this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. First John, the letter that John writes later on in his life, he says this in chapter 3 and verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's the love that Jesus has for us, and that's the love that we ought to have one for another. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Verse number 14. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. This is Jesus' commandment to us, that we would love one another. I can't help but think that if we were to get this, if we were to get this commandment, that a lot of other stuff would be sorted out. Right? A lot of other stuff would be helped. Our relationships would be helped. Our attitudes would be helped if we would simply love one another. I think that's what maybe Jesus was talking about when He gave us the two greatest commandments, right? A lawyer came to Him and said, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment, trying to tempt Him? Because in their day, no self-respecting Jew would ever rate how important the commandments are. And so this Pharisee, or this lawyer, excuse me, comes to Him and says, he tries to tempt Him, he tries to test Him, tries to trip Him up, as they would try to do periodically. And he says, which is the greatest commandment? And Jesus, of course, knows the right answer. And so he says this, it's very easy what the greatest commandment is, and that is that we would love God with all of our hearts, with all of our souls and with all of our minds. And then just to kind of tap the hammer extra hard into that nail in the coffin, he says, I'm going to go ahead and tell you the second greatest commandment just because. And that's this, that you would love your neighbor as yourself. And then he says this, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. Everything in the Old Testament that God commanded for Israel and that God commanded for His people can be summarized by this. Love God and love others. That's it. On this hang all the law and all the prophets. Right? Even if we won't take time to do all 613 commandments, but just the first, just the 10 commandments that we know, the first four of thou shalt have no other gods before me, or make any graven image, or take the name of the Lord God in vain, or remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Those first four would be this: love God. If we loved God, we wouldn't make a graven image, and we would remember the Sabbath. And we would not, we would have no other gods before us. And we would not take the name of the Lord God in vain. How? If we just loved God, right? And the last six of, I'm not going to get these in order, but honor your father and mother, and not killing, and not stealing, committing false witness or coveting, and the tenth one that I don't remember. All six of those, right? Would be pretty easy if we just loved one another, right? Because loving one another means not killing somebody. It means not coveting what they have. It means honoring your father and mother. It means those things. Why? If we just love one another. And that's what Jesus is getting at here in not as many words in John 15. He says this, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And so then we find in verse number 15 and 16, 17 this, that it is God's plan for us to be His disciples. And it's God's plan that we would be productive believers. Productive disciples. Verse 15. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you. What? What has He chosen for us? What has He ordained for us? That we would go and bring forth fruit, and that our fruit should remain. That's what He desires. For every single believer in here, whether you're a teenager, or whether you're middle-aged, or whether you're the oldest believer in here, every person in here should desire to follow what God wants for them, which is that you would bear fruit. Which is that you would be a productive disciple of Him. It's Jesus' desire that those who are His friends and disciples would bear fruit by loving Him and loving each other. That's what Jesus desires for us this evening. And I hope that this evening that you would look at your life and you would ask yourself, am I really loving one another? Am I really loving God? Am I really bearing fruit? Because that's what God wants for me. That's what He desires, that I would bear fruit. I hope that you'll ask yourself that this evening. Father, thank You so much for this day. And Lord, I thank You that we are able to bear fruit. Lord, I thank You that You've asked us to bear fruit, that You've chosen for us to bear fruit. Lord, I ask You would please help us as we desire to do that. Lord, sometimes it is difficult as we live in this world. Lord, it's difficult sometimes to follow You, but Lord, I ask You, please help us as we endeavor to do that, that You would help us to bear fruit. And You said that You would help us. And so, Lord, I ask for that this evening, that You would help us to bear fruit, to truly desire to be Your disciple and not just somebody who comes and sits and is just simply a believer. Lord, I ask You to help us to be disciples. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano begins to play, as we all stand to our feet, are you a disciple this evening? Not just do you come to church when you're supposed to, but do you bear fruit? And do you love one another? That's what God desires for you. Brother Charlie will sing verse number 1 of I Surrender All. instance, can come with our prayer requests.